age where the discussion between Yehuda and Yosef was at the stage where Yosef was seriously afraid that his brothers were about to basically take apart Mitzrayim, rip it shred to shred, and they could have, because the same way Shimon and Levi took care of Shechem, it says they said they were going to take care of Mitzrayim. So Yosef now realizes he's got to end this, or there's danger. Yosef sends every one of the Mitzrayim out of the room, and so to speak, it says, he put his life at the mercy of his brothers, because they didn't know who he was. If he was alone, would they take a shot at him? But he did not want to embarrass them in front of anybody else. And we know many times in Chazal, we know, for example, the story with Yehuda and Tamar. Tamar was willing to let herself and her babies be burned rather than embarrass Yehuda. And there are other times, I think it's a Gemara says, let yourself go into a fire and avoid embarrassing others. And finally, he stood with them and he said, your brother who you said is dead, are you sure he's dead? They said, yes. And he said, I'm going to tell you, you're lying. You sold him as a slave, and I am now going to send for him and bring him in. Yosef said, Yosef ben Yaakov, Yosef ben Yaakov. The brothers looked north, south, east, west. And he said to them, where are you looking? Ani Yosef achicha. I am Yosef, your brother. And he said very quietly, whom you sold to Mitzrayim, ha'oidachi chai, is my father really alive? It says the brothers were so ashamed, they couldn't answer. And there's the famous Chazal that says, Yosef was the youngest of the tribes, or he was younger than the others at least. But when he said, I am Yosef, the brothers wanted to crawl into the woodwork. They say, woe to every Yid who, when we come to the Yom HaDin, and the Rabbi Nishol Oilem says, Ani Hashem Aleikecha, I am God, your God. It says, it's quoting from Bereishis Rabbah, a person thinks that no matter what we do, for the most part, it's appropriate. Because at times the Yetzer Hara will convince us that what we've done is correct. It's a rationalization. On the final day of judgment, the Rabbono Shel Olam basically takes away all the facades. The brothers were unable to say a word. They had sat as a Beis Din years earlier and had judged. They felt that they were made the decision in Halacha, and now they couldn't utter a word. Yosef realized that his brothers were basically withdrawing. They were aloof. And he said to them, come close to me, and I want you to convince yourself that I am Yosef. And he said, I am a brother towards you, notwithstanding what happened. And I am telling you now, do not be sorry for past events. The fact that I am here was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Right? And that's the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me the viceroy. It's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing and not yours. And the only reason I stand here in this position today is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to basically be a provider for the family in the years of famine. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, chose to fulfill those dreams you resented. Let me tell you, we are now only in the second year of a seven-year famine. I know there will not even be wild vegetation. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically forcing you to come down to Mitzrayim to have sufficient provisions. He says, please, hurry back to Canaan. Please tell my father Yaakov. So says your son Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set me up as a ruler of Mitzrayim. Come down without delay. You are going to live in a land near me, in the land of Goshen, separate and apart from others. There you will live in with your family and your flocks. And you will not have to live in the capital. I am here to nourish everyone, because there are 5 years of famine to come. Yosef realized that all of his brothers, and probably except for Binyamin, who he had let know earlier that he was Yosef, they were basically in a state of bewilderment. And he said, listen, as he spoke in Lashon HaKodesh, maybe it's for the first time, he spoke Hebrew to them. And he says, I have no resentment. The same way I feel about Binyamin, who had nothing to do with setting events up, I have the same feeling towards you. Please tell my father about my glory in Mitzrayim. Hasten to bring him here so that I can do what I promised. It says, Yosef fell on Binyamin's neck, right? And it says, Ruach HaKodesh manifested itself on both of Yosef and Binyamin. Binyamin saw that the two Bate Migdash, both base Migdashes, which would be in Binyamin's territory, would one day be destroyed. And Binyamin saw that the Mikdash in Shiloh, which was Yosef's portion, right, would also be destroyed. And it says that's the reason they wept. Yosef still saw that his brothers were still ashamed and did not feel able to talk to him. He kissed his brothers and he wept with them to show them that the time has come for 12 sons to be a family again. Finally, the brothers realized, with Yosef's true expression of feelings, love, and weeping, that in fact they had found their lost brother Yosef. Paro heard that Yosef's family had come, and he was thrilled because he now knew that Yosef was the son of Yaakov Avinu, one of the noblest families. And that no one could ever claim that Yosef was really a slave. There was no way. It says some of the ministers in his palace hierarchy became jealous and complained because they said, we had one Jew here who's in charge. Now we're going to have 11 more supplanting us. And Pyro said, okay, guys, you're demoted, you commoners. Pyro began to fear that Yosef might now leave Mitzrayim and go back home. And Pyro realized that whatever blessings the country now enjoyed were, in fact, in Yosef's merit. He was more than happy to invite all of Yosef's family to come here, telling them, we have provisions. Tell them to go home, load up with as much grain as you need to come back and forth. Please bring your father and bring all of your families. And I agree, you can have the land of Goshen. And he said, I am going to provide the very best of Mitzrayim to the family of Yaakov. It says, initially, Pyro gave them royal chariots, but they had Egyptians of Odazores on them, and the brothers basically later on set them on fire. Right? It says Yehuda did it, because Yehuda, as the Melech, right, set a precedent that all members of his mishpacha would never tolerate avodah zarah. And that later on, David and members of David's malchus burnt idols. Yosef gave them other chariots, wagons, etc. He gave them, it says, changes of clothing. And Binyamin, he gave 5 sets. And we're told that he was very careful. There was a reason, and I don't know what it is, that he gave Binyamin 5. But each one of his clothes was worth 20% of what his other brothers got. So while he may have had more in number, he got no more in value. And it says he also gave him a certain amount, 300 silver coins. It says that the reason for this was not to inspire jealousy, but he saw with Ruach HaKodesh that Binyamin would be the ancestor of Mordechai, who would appear before Ahasuerus in 5 royal garments, right? And the money was probably given was to indicate to Binyamin that he and Yosef did have somewhat of a different relationship, having had the same parents, mother and father. And it says the brothers had no resentment of the fact that Binyamin got this money, because they realized there must be a reason. And it says they knew that since they had all received everything else in equal monetary value, there were no problems. And then Yosef sent his father, it says, delicacies from Egypt, which were old wine, some sort of peas and other types of grains and sustenances. It says here bread, but I don't know that bread could necessarily have sustained the journey. Yosef understood that the shock to his father would be very great, and he understood as well that his father could say, I don't believe it. This is somebody who's an imposter. And Yosef said, I'm going to tell you something. Tell my father that on the last time we were together, when we were walking, when he accompanied me, we were learning the Parsha of Eglah Arufa. Right? That if a murdered person's body is found, they go through this procedure. And they say, the Beis Din, we were not responsible for the fact that this person perished. We never saw them. We couldn't take care of them because we never knew they were around. Yosef then said to his brothers, I know that when you get together in a good mood, you're going to sit and learn. On the way, if you're going to sit and learn and get involved in heavy halachic matters, it's going to be a delay. Please, go as quickly as you can and don't get overtaken by your desire to go deeper and deeper in Torah. And Yosef, right, also didn't want them to get involved in Torah study, because he said, if they realize that our father taught me Eglah Arufa, they may say, oh boy, let's go into this inyan. Is it possible that we too have this type of guilt on our hands? And he didn't want that to happen. The brothers followed Yosef's instructions, and they now faced the predicament how to tell their father Yaakov that Yosef was alive. They noticed, it says, as they came back, they were being greeted by Sarah, the daughter of Usher. She was an extremely special human being. It says she had tremendous spiritual attributes, more than I guess others maybe of the next generation, right? And it says she could play the harp. And they said, please, play the harp in Yaakov's presence and sing a melody, Od Yosef Chai, Od Yosef Chai. Yosef is alive. And it says she stealthily went in to Yaakov Avinu's tent, and she saw her Zeta still mourning for for Yosef, and she began to play. Yaakov began to hear the words, and I guess probably his first reaction was, I must be dreaming. But she continued to play this soft niggin, Od Yosef Chai. And I am imagining that with her special spirituality, right, eventually Yaakov understood what was happening. He understood that if Sarah was doing it, this had to be truth. And he said, I am giving you a bracha, Sarah, because with your actions, you have revived my spirit. and may you live forever. It says that Sarah lived from the days of Yaakov Avinu up to the time of David HaMelech, and she is recorded in the Gemara as being one of the very few people in history to enter Gan Eden alive. She had given Yaakov Avinu back his life, and based for the first time, his ability in Ruach HaKodesh returned to him, right? And he therefore gave her the bracha of eternal life. As Yaakov was coming more and more alive, his sons came and said, Abba, Od Yosef Chai, and he is the king in Mitzrayim. It says, Yaakov looked at them, and it says, he had some problems in that. It says, once somebody has lied to a Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov may not have known it, but he's still suspect. And it took him a while to accept the fact that Yosef was, in fact, the viceroy, the one who could basically control Mitzrayim. When he heard that Yosef said, tell my father about the Inyan of Egla Arufa that I never forgot the learning, he realized. He says, now I know two things. I know that Yosef is alive as a human being. He's alive in that he breathes, but I know something else. Yosef is still the same tzaddik he was when he left. He retained his tzidkis in spite of all of the difficulty he must have encountered. And I must admit that throughout this period of time, when I was mourning the loss of Yosef, and I didn't have communication with the Rabbona Shalom, I was guilty at times of losing bitachon, because I didn't understand. Right? But now I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina cared for me throughout and continues to do so. Okay.